verses 8 through 14 today, but I will do other verses besides those to support what I feel like the Lord really had on his heart for us today. And this was really strong in my heart. So if you just, again, I always like to take a few minutes to talk about where we've come from. Again, Ephesians 1 through 3, the fact that, you know, we were created to be holy and without blame before him in love. That's important to know, that when God created you, he created you holy and without blame before him in love. That's what you were designed for. And that was the blueprint. But when we were born, we came in with a fallen nature. So the blueprint was short-circuited, so to speak. But God through Christ, when we come into our union in Christ, he comes inside of us. And now that blueprint is restored. And now we can walk in the fullness of who we were created to be because of what we have in Christ. And so we talked about that last, that's the first three chapters of Ephesians. He's just really establishing that this is, that we live now in the Spirit. We live in communion and union with the living God. We are in communion and union with the triune God. Yes. That's who we, that's where we live. We live, we live in the Spirit. We're seated with him in the Spirit. We still have a flesh suit on this earth that sometimes doesn't like to line up with what's going on in the Spirit. But what we're learning to is we don't have grace in order to help us get stronger at doing this. We have grace to yield to what we've already been given. Because a lot of people say grace is going to help me do this, but really grace is empowering you to yield to what you already have in Christ. Amen? Yeah. So, and then last week we did verses 3 through 7, and Paul, again, after talking about who we are, and it's important to see Paul's pattern, because this is a pattern for all of us in Christ. It's not that he doesn't point out where things that we shouldn't do as believers, but he always reminds us who we are. That he always says, yes, this behavior isn't appropriate. Remember who you are. This type of lifestyle isn't appropriate. Remember who you are. That's how he always points to that. So in the verses we went through, right, he said that fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, you know, evil speaking, all those types of things, that they're not appropriate for saints, right? Because we've been sanctified, set apart. We are now saints. We're holy ones. Same word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit, the hagios. We are saints. We're holy ones. And he's saying that behavior is no longer appropriate for saints. It was behavior that was very appropriate in Gentile Ephesus. That's the way people lived. But he's like, that's not appropriate now because you're different. You're not that person anymore. You're a saint. And then he talks about the fact that people who live in a rebellious lifestyle, an unrepentant life, have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And he says, don't be deceived by idle words or false doctrine that tells you otherwise. And it does. So we're not talking about a believer who may have a struggle in one of those areas, Paul points out. That's because that's a repentant lifestyle. But he's saying if you're being told that as a believer you can have an unrepentant lifestyle and live in sexual immorality and all those other things, you're being led astray. Now, and so my issue, I want to make really clear, last week when I was teaching, like my issue, the world is the world, and that doesn't shock us. Right. And we just need to love them and demonstrate to them who Christ is. So people who are caught up in that lifestyle, they don't know better. And so we need to shine light and truth and help bring them out. But I do have a righteous indignation to someone who says they represent Christ and says that kind of lifestyle is okay. And if you don't think Jesus does, you need to read the book of Revelation. Because he gets pretty clear about what happens to people who say that they're leading, that was one of the churches, that the seven churches who were teaching that type of thing was okay. Okay, that's not okay. And we can't represent. So I just wanted to make clear, it's not against that lifestyle for people who don't understand. But when people who know, who supposedly know truth and are representing Christ say that that's okay, there's a problem. There's a big problem. So we're going to go to verse 8. But Paul ends that section saying, do not be partakers with them. Okay, don't co-participate with them. In verse 8, he goes, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he says, it's not even that you just lived in darkness. We were darkness. We were darkness. Darkness, it talks about darkness, gloom, evil, sin, obscurity, night, ignorance, moral depravity. This word, especially in a metaphorical sense of ignorance of divine truth, man's sinful nature, fallen nature, total absence of light, and the lack of spiritual perception. This word is spiritual darkness basically describes everything earthly or demonic that is at enmity with God. And so we were that. We lived in it and we were that. But now you are light in the Lord. Yes. You are light in the Lord. So this light, and we talked a little bit about this in the Four Keys class that we were talking about last week, this morning. But it's important to understand what we're talking when we talk about light, because New Age occult things like to talk about light too. But their light is different. It's a light that's in darkness. Okay, when we talk about light, we're talking about the pure light that is from Jesus Christ. It's from God. It is because Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. We're talking, because light can mean spiritual illumination, but we're talking about spiritual illumination by the Holy Spirit. Very important to understand, because there's people who can talk about things that sound very spiritual and light, but it's not of God. And there is a light that's actually darkness. And what we're talking about is the true light, the one true light that is, and it's a spiritual illumination that we have because of the Holy Spirit. This word light, man naturally is incapable of receiving spiritual light in as much as he lacks the capacity for spiritual things. This is 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So a natural person, this is why that we look foolish to people, because they can't discern the light that we know in Christ. They're totally incapable of it because they haven't been awakened. They haven't received Christ. Okay? But this light, right, believers are called sons of light, not merely because they have received a revelation from God, but because in the new birth, they have received the spiritual capacity for it. So we've received the capacity for light. Now, how did we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So first of all, we know God is light. Well, then we go to John 1, verse 4, in Christ, right, in Jesus Christ, was life. Now this life, okay, this life is the very Zoe life of God. It's the very life force as God has it. And Jesus Christ came in and he had that life. And so we've talked about this before. He was the only spiritually alive person on the planet. Everybody else was the zombies, all dead, but he's alive. Now people are attracted to Jesus. One, because he does lots of miracles and he multiplies food, but also because he's alive. There's something that's just drawing people to him because he is alive. Why? Because he has the life of God inside of him, right? So he comes and he brings that life to earth, and he walks it out in its fullness and demonstrates the reality of who God is and all the goodness of God and the miraculous power of God and God's heart towards us, because he's living from that life. But then he dies, right? And he rises again for this very purpose, that he can give us that life. Amen? It says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Again, he had to go to the cross to get rid of the sin so that he could give us this life, because this is the life we were created to have. This life includes righteousness and holiness. It's the pure life of God. And because he died and rose again, we now get that life, right? And now we can have union and communion with God because we have the same life he has. He brought that, and he brought that for us. And now we have union in him. And this life includes righteousness and holiness. This is why you're righteous and holy. Because you have the life of God inside of you if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You literally have his life. Okay? But this life, right? This in him was life, and this life was the light of men. This was the life that was intended to be the light of mankind. So in this life, right, is light. And that's why now, because we've gotten born again, because we have the life of God inside of us, we now have the capacity for spiritual illumination from the Holy Spirit to perceive spiritual things, to understand the spiritual realm of the kingdom of God. You know, I talked about this again in the class at 9 o'clock, like John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see means to perceive. So unless a person is born again, they can perceive spiritual things, but they're not perceiving the kingdom of God. Amen. And we're only interested in the kingdom. We're only interested in the kingdom and what the kingdom is. So now, because we have the life of God, we now have the light. And it says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Did not comprehend it. John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The spiritual illumination by the Holy Spirit of the life of God that's inside of us. This is what this light is. And because we have the life of God, we have this spiritual illumination. John 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. This word sons is that word kuios again. What's so close in resemblance right to the other that you can't tell the difference. So we believe in him that we may become sons of God and sons of light. So he says, okay, so you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Again, you're seated with him in heavenly places. This is where we live. Now we need to walk, take our walk up a notch, a couple notches, up to this level to where we are in Christ. Okay? And this is the whole journey, right? The journey is this is where you're seated, and the whole journey is we're all on the path going here. And sometimes we go here, and then here, and here, and here. But that's the journey. That's the journey that all of us have to learn how to walk in what he's already given us. We're all learning how to walk in accordance with that. So this walk as children, this word children isn't huios, it's technon. And it means, it stresses parentage. So we're as children of light. We have a parent who is light, and we're children of that parent who is light. We are children of light. And this is how we now walk in the world. We're called to walk in this world. So verse 9, he goes, the New King James says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. But if you go to like the NIV in some early manuscripts, it actually says, but the fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And when you look at the context of what Paul is saying here, I believe that light makes more sense than spirit, because he's not talking about fruit of the Spirit, he's talking about light. So I want to talk about it from that standpoint. So fruit, it metaphorically talks of works or deeds. So the fruit, the works or the deeds, are the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. The character of the fruit is the evidence of the character of the power producing it. Let me say that again, okay? So fruit would be works or deeds, right? Actions that we have. They're the visible expression of the power that's working inwardly and invisibly. The character of this fruit, right, is the evidence of the character that inside that's producing it. Just like, so now you know an apple tree by what? When the apple comes forward. Okay, now the apple comes forward, so I know the character of that tree is an apple tree. So the same thing for us is the fruit, the works, the acts, the deeds of our lives, right, should reflect the character of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Like when you squeeze a Christian, like Christ should come out. Theoretically speaking, okay? Theoretically speaking, Christ should come out. So he says the fruit of light, now that we're children of light, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So this word goodness, I'm going to give you the summation of it. It's a rare word that combines being good and doing good. So in other words, it's a genuine goodness Bad people can do good things. But this word goodness means an authentic goodness. It means a genuine goodness that's inside that is expressing itself outside. So it's an authentic goodness. It's not just a show, right? It's authentic goodness that's inside and it's coming out and it's demonstrating itself in the actions that come forth. So that's a fruit of light. The other word is righteousness, right? Righteousness is the character or quality of being right or just. The sum total of the requirements of God. God is the one who decides what righteousness is. Amen. You know, remember that Satan said, I want to be like God. So what does he try to do? He tries to establish his own righteousness, his own definition of family, his own definition of male and female, his own definition of marriage, his own definition of justice, because he wants to be like God. So he's going to try to set up the same type of thing that God does. But God determines righteousness. God determines identity. God determines family. God determines all those things. So God determines righteousness. And this word is used of the gracious gift of God to men or women, whereby all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into right relationship with God. Right? This righteousness is unattainable by obedience to any law or by any merit of man's own or any other condition than that of faith in Christ. Amen. The man or person who trusts in Christ becomes the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Becomes in Christ all that God requires a person to be, all that that person could never be in themselves. So that's the righteousness, again, because we have the life of God, which includes righteousness, right? And the fruit of that, there's light, and the fruit of that light is goodness and it's righteousness. And it's also truth. So I thought for sure this word truth would have been the same word that Jesus used when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, but it's not. This word truth, and all that they're related, it means to be true in doctrine and profession, in what you say. It can also mean to deal faithfully or truly with anyone. So the fruit of light in our lives is goodness, genuine goodness that comes from inside out, righteousness, right? A righteous life and truth. These are the fruit of light in our lives because we're children of light. Verse 10, Paul goes on, and I'm just going to go back and do 8, 9, and 10 again because he had the parentheses. So you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I love this because what is it doing? Once again, Paul is once again pointing to what? We all have to have a relationship with Jesus. How do you find out what's acceptable to the Lord? Well, I mean, first and foremost, we need to know the word, right? We need to know the word. We need to be in fellowship with other people who know the word. And then we also need to have a relationship with the Lord ourselves, because we're on a corporate journey, but we're on an individual journey as well. And the Lord has individual instructions and edifications and things he wants to say to each one of us, journey that we have. So we have to have a relationship with him. So we find out what is acceptable. This word finding out means to prove, the process of proving. Aren't you glad he acknowledges it's a process?
Yeah.
It's a process of proving. It's a process of finding out what is acceptable. We're all in the process. We're all learning. And as we develop a relationship with him, we can become clearer and clearer about things. Right? Because we know him better. But it all is grounded in that. So finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, this word acceptable means well-pleasing. And how else am I going to know what's well-pleasing to him if I don't know him? Right? We have to know him. Just like when earlier in chapter 4, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. How can we know what grieves the Holy Spirit of God if we don't know the Holy Spirit? So he points to this relationship. Find out what's well-pleasing to the Lord. A lot of people don't like to talk about this, especially in grace circles, right? But we need to understand that we are going to stand before him one day. We are going to stand before him one day. And it's not a seat of, you know, you're in or you're out. We're already in, right? We're already in, but we are going to stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right? Therefore, Paul says, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. That's the same exact word, acceptable. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him. We are going to stand before him. He says, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, the good thing is that all the bad stuff burns up in the fire, right? But my thing is, I rather would just stand before him every day. So when I stand before him on that day, there's nothing that blindsides me. Right? If we have a relationship with him and we're finding out what's acceptable to him, can we invest time with him every day? You know, someone said, keep short accounts with God. Like, if there's something to repent for, let's repent. Let's ask him. You know, we don't have to come before him and confess every single sin. That's not about becoming sin conscious. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is keeping short accounts, keeping our heart right before him. So that when we do stand before him that day, it's something familiar to us. We already know it because we know him. And if there's issues, there's things that we've already talked to him about, you know? He's really good. He's really good. And he wants us to stand before him that day being totally clear. And he's willing to work with us now to bring us to that fullness. Amen? Our lives are to be a living sacrifice. I know we've said this so many times, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Your body's acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. Don't be conformed to this world, exactly what Paul's talking about, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Again, the process of renewing our minds to the reality of who we already are so we can yield to that truth and live a life of sacrifice. Ephesians 5, 2, right? We walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Lord, may our lives be a sweet-smelling aroma to you because we've chosen to live for love instead of ourselves. We've chosen, like she was talking about Ephesians chapter 3, right? To know the love of God which passes knowledge. Yes, that's talking about us knowing the love of God for us, but I want to know the love of God for all of mankind. I want my heart to break for the same things his heart breaks for. I want to be able to see people the way he sees them, to be able to see the person who we think is the most heinous person in the world, but to see them the way God actually created them. Right? And I'm not saying that people don't suffer consequences for the wrong choices they've made. That's not what I'm saying. What we're talking about is an eternal salvation for people. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And if we can be the catalyst of love in somebody's life to demonstrate who God really is to them, to bring them into the kingdom, Lord, let it be us. Let it be us that can live that life, that our life's goal is to demonstrate who God really is, to be imitator of God as a beloved child, to demonstrate who he really is to the world. But to do that, we need to know him. We need to know him. Verse 11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This word, unfruitful means barren, okay, barren, unfruitful, and then works means actually the actual acts of darkness, the evil powers that dominate the world. So we're not to co-participate with them, which he's said multiple times. Don't co-participate with that. Why? Because we're saints. But instead, rather expose them. Now this word expose, I'm going to read the definition, but I want to talk about this. It says the word means to rebuke another with the truth so that the person confesses or at least is convicted of his sin. Although convicted, they may or may not be convinced. It's also used of reproving works. So in this case, we're talking about in the context of reproving works, not people, but works. So we're pointing out works, and this word very much is verbal. It's very much the context or the actual word that's used means actual speaking. So we're called to expose basically works of darkness, to correct, to bring light to works of darkness so that things can be revealed. We're called to that. I love this because it says it is for expose them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So it's even shameful for us, right, to speak of those things which are done. This word done means to literally come into being, to come into being. So the things that are come into being by them in secret or in private. It makes me think about, you know, the word, the movie we just saw on Sound of Freedom. So it's important for us to understand darkness is going on in the world. And it's important for us to bring that to light and to make and educate people what's going on. But we're called not to continue to expose and talk about all this shameful stuff, right, that's going on. We're taught to bring light into it. And sometimes as believers, we can continue to just keep talking about all the darkness and the evil stuff going on instead of actually bringing truth, bringing light to that. Should we be ignorant and put our heads in the sand? No, we need to, like Sound of Freedom shows us the level of depravity that man has gone to. We haven't evolved, we've devolved, right? But our job isn't to continue to talk about that. Our job is to bring light to it. Our job is to bring truth to it. That's what we do. Verse 13, he says, but all things that are exposed, okay, are brought out, are made manifest by the light. This word made manifest means to render apparent, and it reveals one's true character. Okay? So it says all things that are exposed or corrected with truth are made manifest or are brought out by light. And the true character behind it is revealed by light. For whatever makes manifest, this word makes is actually poieo, which means to bring fruit. So what truly brings the fruit of revealing the true character behind actions and deeds is light. Light brings that. Now, I have a beautiful example of this. Praise God. Let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 2. It says, now early in the morning, Jesus came into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, light came. See, light stood in the midst of these group of people who came with all kinds of motives to accuse this woman of adultery. And light was standing there. And what happened? Light said, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. So what happened? Is what was exposed? Their motives. Their motives. Light exposes. Light brings truth in there. And now their motives are all exposed. And what happens? A group leaves. But the woman standing there, and she gets set free. Why? Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look at this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life, Zoe life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son. We were all condemned until we came to Christ. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light was standing there, but they left. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So we have a group of people and light is standing there. And light says, you know, he who's without sin cast the first stone. He's exposing. And light is standing there. And do you know, and that whole crowd of people, any one of them could have fallen to their knees and repented before him. And none of them did. They dropped their stones and they walked away because their deeds were evil. They were walking away. But she stood there and she walked away free because she came to light and light cleansed her of her condemnation, her guilt, her shame. He cleansed her of that. And because she was cleansed of that, she could now walk because light didn't condemn her. It's not there to condemn. It's to expose. It's to expose truth. And so truth was exposed. And so he says to her, go and sin no more. And I can promise you that woman never committed adultery again. Why? Because she was set free. Light set her free. It exposed, but it set free. It set free. This is the beauty. This is what we get to carry. 2 Corinthians 4. I love this. Even if our gospel, this is us, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, right, should shine on them. We carry that light, right? Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. I always want to cry when I read this verse. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of carrying that light and in bringing truth and light to people so that they can become free of the darkness that binds them. Amen. Ephesians 5:14, Paul goes on and says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. If you're a sleeping Christian, wake up. Wake up. Arise from the dead. If you don't know Christ, arise from the dead. And Christ, either case, Christ gives light. Christ will give you light. I want to show you something here. We're going to go to Genesis. In the beginning, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, if you study those words out, it's talking about chaos. It's talking about chaos, okay? Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the faces of the water, and he's waiting. The Holy Spirit's waiting. He's waiting for God to speak. Right? And then God says, let there be light. There's darkness and chaos. And what is the first thing God says? Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He didn't get rid of the darkness. He divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no stars. There's just light and there's darkness. And Adam and Eve were in a garden of light, and they were told to expand that garden, but they chose not to. They ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we had light and darkness, but they sold out and darkness took over. And now we have a world that's back in darkness. So God had to send light again. And he sent it in his son, Jesus Christ. He comes into the world and he demonstrates everywhere he goes the nature and character of God. He demonstrates light. And then he's transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration to demonstrate that he is light. And then he goes to the cross and he dies for us so that he can give us life and light. And so now once again, this kingdom, the Garden of Eden that was a place on the earth is now here. And the light is here. And now the garden that was supposed to go and take over the world and multiply is now us as children of light. And we're here to expand the kingdom. Because eventually there's going to be a kingdom that is just light. And there's not going to be a sun or moon there. It's just going to be light. And it's going to be light of God that is in, that's God, but it's also us. Amen. First Thessalonians says, you are all sons of light. This word sons is huio, so close in resemblance to the other that you can't tell the difference. And you're also sons of the day. Remember in the when God created light and darkness, right? And the day, the light was day and the night, then its darkness was night. And now he says, you are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We were darkness, but now we're light. Watch this. John, 1 John 1. This is the message which we have heard from him declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, with each other and him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to take your religious ears off and hear this sentence again. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. While we're walking in the light. In other words, you can walk in the light and still make mistakes, but in the light, if you come to the light, if you just let and be transparent to him, that light will, and his blood cleanses you of all sin. In the light is where sin is cleansed. We don't hide from light, we come to light. And in that light, his blood washes us clean because we're not hiding like the darkness hides. We're not people throwing stones and running away, but we're standing in before him in the midst of our mess in the light. And in that light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So many people hide, right? If I can't walk in the light if I'm not perfect. No, come to the light in your imperfection. Stay in fellowship with him. Stay in fellowship with one another. Be transparent, and his blood washes you and washes you and washes you and washes you. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 13, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep, church. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, right? Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let's leave it behind and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh and its lusts, to fulfill its lusts. Notice the flesh doesn't go away. You know, just you're like, God, just take it. It doesn't go away. But we're children of light. And we stay in the light. Matthew 5, right? We are the salt of the earth, family. If we lose our flavor, the world is, what's going to happen to the world if we lose our flavor? If we look just like them, if we don't believe that we're light, if we don't believe that we're love, if we don't believe who we are in Christ, we can't walk in the flavor that he has given us. We have to hold on to that flavor. How shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. As much as the world says they don't want to see our light, they need our light. They need our light, right? And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your good acts, your good deeds, your genuine good ones that come from the goodness inside and comes outside, right? And glorify your Father in heaven. Everything we do is to glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. And lastly, arise and shine. Isaiah 60, for your light has come. We are that light, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Because we are the light of the world. We are that light. We are that righteousness. We are that purity. We are that truth. And the world desperately needs us. And we don't hide. We don't hide from the Lord. We come boldly to the throne room of grace in the biggest messes that we have. And we just say we have fellowship with him and we allow his light to wash us clean. And that same light that did not condemn us is the same light we carry. The world already is under condemnation. It doesn't need us to condemn. They're under it. They know it. They need us to shine light. They need us to shine truth. They need us to demonstrate to them who they really were called to be in love, in patience, in kindness. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we come boldly into your light, Lord, that we walk in light in fellowship with you. And as we stay transparent with you, Lord, your blood cleanses us of all sin. So, Lord, we can walk in greater and greater fullness of all that you died to give us. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for what you've done. Thank you for making us lights, Lord. May we now continue to hold on to the flavor you've given us and shine that light, Lord, unashamedly to the world, that the world may know that God sent Jesus Christ, his son. Amen. 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 Amen.